Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted SEO host. I'm here with Tyler Mumford, and he's going to talk about his unusual adventure as the stump guy and introduce his company and his current journey. I'm really interested to hear a first-person perspective, been following on Twitter a little bit and understanding. So you didn't always grind stumps. And for those people that are listening, what is stump grinding? Is it a PG process? What led you to it, and what were you doing before?
So yeah, stump grinding is a very PG process. It's loud and dirty, but it's PG. It's basically turning a stump in someone's front or backyard into wood chips through a big, basically spinning blade that chips it down slowly. I have a ton of these videos on my Twitter. Is really, I think, the reason that I've gotten Twitter followers is because they're oddly satisfying to watch. So yeah, that's kind of stump grinding. What it is, I had no experience grinding stumps before I started. I was on a tree crew a long time ago in high school, so I knew that stump grinding existed, but I'd never done it myself. And so, I come from a sales background, mainly like business to business software sales, is where I started after college. Did that for a while, like 3-4 years, and always wanted to get out doing something on my own. Heard this idea on a podcast to, you know, kind of do a business to business stump grinding model, because landscapers, tree companies, there's a lot of people that need the service without wanting to do it themselves. And so that's kind of how we started, and we're slowly growing from there and documenting it on Twitter.
Interesting. So is it a strictly B2B play, or is there a growing B2C component that you're trying to capture as well, or?
Yeah, so there's a lagging B2C component. B2B was how I started. Probably the first 4 months I did 100% B2B. The first 8 months I did like 90% B2B. And then now it's starting, we have a lot of reviews and things like that now. So we're starting to get some more organic traffic ourselves. But a lot of times stump grinding needs to be done after they remove the tree. So that's like the prime time to find the customer anyways. And so it's just natural to have that done through the tree company or the landscape company.
Right. So having that connection, was that a manual process, or did you go to like a tree trimmers convention, or did you get a handshake introduction from somebody who networked you with those other businesses?
So honestly, all of it. How it started was cold texting, just direct cold text to tree companies, landscape companies. Hey, you know, a picture of my business card. My name's Tyler. I do stump grinding for you know, a ton of different tree companies in the area. Do you have a good sub, or do you rent a machine currently? And then start, you know, working with these companies, building relationships. That started into warm introductions into other tree companies, because a lot of tree guys are friends or have worked together in the past. And then I've been to conventions now. I've kind of done everything at this point, but it all started with cold text and just getting out and doing jobs well.
Yeah, one of my previous interviews, Bradley Benner, he had the opposite journey. Like, he was doing tree work and working with tree companies and starting his own. And then he got into the SEO aspect and started learning what actually worked to raise him up. And then he repeated that for others and ended up, you know, creating a white label agency. So I'm curious about what was the pressure? What was the impetus to, you know, go to a hands-on job, and about how much time of what you're doing now is, you know, a digital work promoting the business versus actually out there in the field doing stuff?
Yeah. Well, I always like felt a little bit of a discontentment with my day to day, just being in an office, being behind a computer all day, every day. For me personally, it just wasn't a great fit. I'm a pretty active, just ADD person. And so naturally, like, the work was something that I was open to doing. I really liked it. And then, today, When I first started, it was a lot more cold outreach and doing all of that behind a computer. Nowadays, it's like a lot of that is on autopilot. All of my cold texting, my cold emailing, all of that is pretty much on autopilot in the background. And most of my time is spent out in the field, probably like 4 days a week, full days out in the field, either grinding stumps, bidding jobs with other guys, talking to people. And so I'm out most of the time now. And then I take a day off every 2 weeks or so to up level the business, whether that's like last week I onboarded on a jobber, this week I took a day off to have a meeting like this and a bookkeeping meeting this morning. Just doing, I try to do all of my up leveling of the business like one day a week, and then I'm out in the field the other days.
So I'm curious because like I have a SEO friend, Michael McDougald, and he kind of specializes in finding like these ugly duck industries that people don't think about. Like he had a site that sold steel doors and toilet partitions. So stump grinding isn't ne like a big sexy thing. But how have you worked in what would be kind of a boring industry to kind of bring things forward or take it on for a unique spin?
Yeah, I would say my unique spin, like grinding a stump, there's not a lot of the ways to do that uniquely or, really cutting edge, if you will. It's a big machine and it's a violent service, and it gets it out of the ground. But the on the side of like how to running the business, I don't think a lot of stump grinders are running full blown B2B sales cycles the way I am with cold text, cold call, cold email, dropping by in person, knowing or taking the skills that I basically learned in big tech, big SaaS sales, to a small, really niche industry, I think is kind of where I'm up leveling in doing that, in a really consistent, good professional way while still being able to provide a great niche service to these people. So I would say that's kind of my, if you will, the way I'm up leveling the industry in my area, still doing the same service other people do, just in a lot more professional way that I learned kind of from tech.
So, do you have a Google Business profile? Is that as a service area, or do you have a have you registered an address somewhere and you have somewhere where you've dropped that specific pin? Which of those two routes have you gone for your Google Business profile?
I'm pretty sure it's a pin. I'm pretty sure it's a pin at my house, but I think the address is hidden. Does that make sense, or is it a service area? I'm not sure.
I could
I'm not
look
an
it up
expert on that. Yeah,
live.
you could look it up right now. Grind time stump grinding.
All right, let's look at Ryan time.
And there's one in South Carolina. Grind time's one word, and it's the one in Utah.
I'm doing this one-handed because the mic's in the
Oh, you're good. No worries.
way. So, where did you set up your site? Is it a WordPress, or what platform did you end up going for on your own site?
I think it's a WordPress site. I had a so a buddy runs a SEO agency, like a small SEO agency. So he handled the site, he handles the hosting, he handled any of like the SEO stuff that we've done. So I'm not the go-to expert on this for my business, but.
No, it's good to know. I'm curious, because talking to you know what you know when you know it, and then sometimes you know what you don't know. But if you don't know, you just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, hey, handle it. But I am ranking like in the, I think number one or two in the map pack in my area, which is great. And yeah, you would be able to tell me more on like the pin stuff, but.
It looks like you're doing a service area. Let's see. So it does show your does disclose your address, and it is pinned to your home. Got some good reviews, bro.
Yeah, we got a lot of reviews, which is great. I come in at a really good spot in the process, so it's kind of a cheat code, but these tree companies send me in to finish the job, basically, is what I'm doing. So I'm kind of the last person to talk with the customer because I'm in their backyard with a huge stump grinder. And so I'm there right there to ask them for a review. And I pretty consistently can get a review off of jobs that I never did the marketing for, which is like a double win in my opinion. Because I'm just the sub, but I'm still getting a review from the customer, and it's a pretty good gig.
That's awesome. Question about are you going to be doing this as like a lifestyle business? Is this what you want to do for a long time, or are you going, get other guys on the same crew? Like, what's your intention to either like ride the wave and just keep it yourself and just, figure out how to streamline it, or are you looking at growth eventually?
Yeah, I want to grow eventually. I don't know if it will be in stump grinding or in something else. Yeah, I started this last August, and so I missed the whole spring and most of the summer of last year. And so I really have no idea what this business could possibly be. So right now I'm just focused on working as hard as possible through the spring and summer to kind of see what's the top end potential of one truck with one guy that's very focused on doing as much revenue as possible. And then once I can feel that out, I'm going to see if there's opportunity to fill a route for a second truck. If I feel like I'm capping out at opportunity, what I will do is I'll probably have someone in the seat that I'm currently in on the stump grinding side, and then start trying to move up market into something like land clearing or fire mitigation, where there's bigger machinery that is more expensive and kind of harder to get into. Is kind of how I might see growth in the future. But right now, it's like I have no clue how big this thing could be. There's not many people. There's like zero people that talk about stump grinding online. So I have no idea like the top end revenue potential, what the need for it is in my area. I know I'm paying my bills and making pretty good money month over month, but as far as like building a big business, I don't know. So I'm just trying to attack it as hard as I can every day.
So, w before you launched this as a concept, did you just have like a regular W-2 position at a SaaS company as a salesperson?
Yeah, so I was just a salesperson at, yeah, just like a normal W-2 sales job. I heard this idea on a podcast. Chris Corner and Nick Hulesky, they're big on Twitter. They have a podcast that they talked about this idea, which was like a B2B stump grinding business, and they had the context because they run a tree company in Dallas, and so they've kind of seen the need for this. And anyways, so I took that idea, kind of ran with it in my area. The very first month was August of last year, and I did the whole month. I did about $9,000 in revenue, which was awesome, with a W-2 job. So that was doing stump grinding in the morning, at night, and on weekends. By the end of August, I left my W-2 full time and just went yeah, did the thing. I have a pretty good network, so I knew I could get back into sales if I needed to, but luckily I haven't needed to, and we're going into the busy season, which is great.
That's amazing. That's a fantastic story of like leaving it. It reminds me of like Brazil of the movie where it just kind of goes off the deep end, just does his own thing. But was there anything you did beforehand, planning wise? Like, did you save up like X number of months worth of savings so that you could have a cushion, or did you just like just start running off for the hills?
We had, so it wasn't like super rash decision. We did a good amount of revenue in August. On the books for September, before September started, we had like a lot of jobs. And it was kind of one of those things where I was like, if I do all these jobs, I'll probably be fired from my job anyway. So I was like, that kind of pushed me out. The other thing I did, I was a good employee, so I negotiated severance from my employer, because I was like, hey, I can help you guys. These are really good accounts that I'm selling to. Like, I'll help you offload all of these if you can give me a month or two of severance. And they did that, which was awesome from them. And then, yeah, we had some savings. We knew we could get through the winter, even if I didn't make much money. But so it wasn't super rash, but we didn't have to dip into those at all, which was great.
That's good. So, what about other structures, licenses, permits, regulatory items? Was there anything that came out of the woodwork that surprised you?
On this one, I did some research prior because I was worried about that. That there's not a ton for stump grinding. There's no licensing or permitting really that you need. You need insurance, so I did the basic like business insurance, and there was a few things that I had to problem solve with getting the machine because they don't just loan a commercial stump grinder to your personal credit. Like no one gets these things on their personal credit, so I had to figure out how to get that on my business credit, and there were some complications there. But outside of like regulatory, the only real thing that you need to do with stump grinding is call blue stakes or like the call before you dig number before you do a job. They'll mark like gas lines. You know, that's the biggest mistake that you could make is hitting like a city utility without, you know, calling blue stakes first. As long as you're good with that, there's not a whole lot that can go super wrong. I mean, you could hit sprinkler lines, have some water spraying like over the yard. Like, yeah, that happens, but no one's life is in danger because of it. So, yeah, there's not a ton. It's a pretty simple business.
Nice. So let's talk some of your other decisions as you went along. If you're a car dealership, then you got to choose, a brand name, because like what you do is replicatable somewhere else. So how do you stand out? Like, are you Major World? Are you Jim Bob's, cars for junk cars for sale, or Cookeville? Did you want to tie yourself initially to the city that you're in, or did you go with what, or did you want to stick to your state? Because I see your URLs, Utah's Stump Pros, so I'm guessing you want to stick in the state, at least for now. That's the implication. But is there anything you're looking and setting? You didn't say I'm Provo Stump Grinder. So what was the thought behind the branding for Grind Time, and where you saw regionally that you could do this?
Yeah, Grind Time, that's a good question. Grind Time, I just thought it was a good name, to be quite honest with you. I didn't have too much more thought behind it than that. The Utah Stump Pros, to be quite honest with you, the Grind Time stump grinding domain was taken, believe it or not, by that other guy in South Carolina. And so I was like, okay, I started doing a little bit of research through ChatGPT on just like what is good for domains. And it mentioned having, you know, either like your state in there or something like that. And then as far as the branding went, it's kind of evolved as it's gone. I had a really, really rudimentary logo from Fiverr to start. And, you know, just got my business email and a business phone number is how I started. I didn't even have a website for the first like 4 or 5 months because it was all B2B. And then slowly as the winter came, I got slower and slower on the stump grinding side. So I up-leveled my logo, up-leveled my website, you know, actually did everything fully. And I'm starting to see the fruits of that recently. I've gotten like 8 to 10 jobs from Google in the last week, which has been awesome because it's starting to warm up and people are in their yards and want stumps out. And so yeah, it's just kind of been a slow build. But to be honest, like the branding, it's turned out really well, I feel like. And that was not because of prior planning. I kind of have gotten lucky with just how things have played out as we've gone.
Got it. So you did have that mind, because that was one of my next questions of like, hey, if you're a car wash in winter, your tidal wave auto spot, you're going to be closed until it stops snowing. So what does that seasonality look like for you, and what's your plan as far as a business to, adjust for? Obviously, there's going to be a part of the time where you're out in the field more and come back. What's your strategy to survive the lean times and to really have enough bandwidth to cover what comes up in the sprint times?
Yeah, that's a good question. Part of this question I don't know because I don't know how the business is gonna, you know, keep growing or evolving. But the first year I knew that I started in August, September. I knew winter was coming, so I never hired anyone because of that. I knew we were about to have winter, and it was just no use. I might as well just do all the jobs so I don't have to pay anyone through the winter. The slowdown happened, but because my work is spread out over 20 to 40 tree companies. Some of them are really big. Those tree companies don't stop working through the winter. They're not usually out there when it's like pouring or like a blizzard, you know, but when there's a lot of days that are, you know, blue sky days in the winter, it's cold, but there's no snow on the ground. And so there was still work. It's probably about 25% of what my peak months are. So it slows down good about, but it's still enough to honestly to pay the bills and get by, which is great. And then I use the other days to, as you mentioned, up level the business. That's where I started doing like some SEO. So I get my website up, doing all of those things. Next year there'll be a new way to up level my business that I'll need to be doing with, you know, automations and CRMs and some different things. And then this winter we are looking at adding some sort of seasonal service, whether that's snow removal, Christmas lights, you know, something to bridge that gap a little bit. I haven't decided if we're going to do that for sure, but I've been looking and doing some research.
So is this you and your wife or partner or friend? You said we a couple of times, and I just want to see who the
Yeah,
we is.
it's more the royal we. It's just me. I mean, my wife, I am married, so I talk to her about all of my decisions. And but yeah, I do think if I add another service like Christmas lights or something else, it will be a we with a partner just on that specific service. I have a few friends that would be interested in doing something like that with me. But on the stump grinding side, it's currently just me. I always say we because it sounds more official. It makes me sound like I actually run a company rather than just me being out there, you know?
I should get into that habit too. We like the way that you've optimized your site.
Yeah, exactly. And when I show up to a job and I say we a lot, they're like, "Oh, this guy runs a big company." Little do they know behind the scenes, it's just me. So,
So how do we work with other entities and businesses, like in cross promotion? Like, have you teamed up with other landscapers or like, you know, crawl space guys? I've got a asphalt guy that I work with here, and I've done a revenue share partnership with him, and so like I'm looking in like partnering with, you know, Crawl Space Kings and looking to do co-marketing, find people where I can, you know, send them blog content. I can do, you know, co-marketing and get links from them and send them links and kind of boost. Has there been any sort of networking aside from just the subcontracting with the tree companies where you've seen any success so far?
yeah, I've started subbing now with like not just tree landscape concrete fence companies has been kind of my cross marketing play. All of those feel like there's a need as you go down that list. So tree companies need me the most, landscapers probably the second most, concrete and then fence is like the order of like people that would need me the most frequently. But I've started going down that list. And then now I have providers in all of those areas. So when I'm in someone's backyard and I'm pretty good with people, so I'll talk to the customer and whatever. And they ask me, "Hey, do you have a quote for that tree?" Or we're thinking about doing this, you know, a hardscape solution or whatever. I have a partner that I w refer that work to. And I've actually, a lot of them, because they're big. Like you know, a new driveway is a big ticket, and so like the concrete company I work with kicks me back 5% off of anything I refer. So now I've had this like really good natural. I've already worked for them. I ask them, "Hey, can I just refer you on stuff in the future?" They say, "Yeah, we'll kick you 5%," and it's a great win-win. And so nothing like big outside of that, but that's the main way I've been doing it.
No, I love that. And I think SEOs would do well to listen to that particular piece of it because, you know, whether you're an SEO person, you could create referral relationships with PPC and social media guys, but don't skimp out on that process of thinking about referral opportunities when you're working with your clients, because that's money you don't have to work for that you can just get. Because of your relationship. So I think that's a gem of a quote and a gem of an idea to keep in your back pocket is, you know, making sure that you have well-developed referral options for whatever you're doing, whether it's local and service related or whether you've got a SaaS or whatever, like having those that's just money that you can get that you would leave on the table if you're like, nope, I don't know a tree guy, sorry. Well, you just lost 5% of a $5,000 tree trimming.
Exactly. No, you hit it exactly on the head. And like, I think people should think really hard also about who they could sub for in whatever service. How can you make your service a little bit more B2B or go somewhere upstream and help them with whether it's a big holistic marketing company and they have an SEO provider underneath them, whatever it is that they don't like. I think that's the easiest way to get revenue is just by talking to bigger companies and figuring out what they need help with down low. And then you don't have to pay the marketing up front. You don't have to deal with, PPC or all of those things. That's how I've built my business. And don't get me wrong, it's in the trade, so it's not the same as some of these online businesses, but it's worked really well. And every time I get a text from these guys about a stump, I spent $0 getting that customer. I just get a text to show up to this place, do this job, and I get money. That's pure margin because of the relationships that I've built. And it's awesome. It's a great win-win.
Yeah, I love that. And it's the combination of all of these disparate elements that really come together and enable you to be a solopreneur. Like
Totally.
adding a little bit of margin here because you can do referrals. Saving time on your leads because you're creating those partnerships and finding, thinking upstream and thinking of the bigger picture. It's something that you can't do that with a keyword research tool. Like, just a straight up like SEM Rush, like it'll just tell like what keywords are related to it. But you got to go beyond just the scope of like, different way, like HVAC and air conditioning is a thing, but if you think about it, it's like a bigger nexus of, okay, well, I should be talking to realtors and being there on the ground and being the first person that realtors think of when a buyer, a seller is in their hand and they need to fix the HVAC before they can sell, or a buyer is taking over property and the seller isn't willing to fix it, they're going to have that immediate need. So, being in the right place in the right time with that connection is probably more effective than, putting pay-per-click ads out there or even SEO. Like I know my place, like there is a process where people are trying to get informed about how some of these things work, but a lot of the times, like there's already like a business process that happens that handshakes from one person to another. So like the amount of B2B search for it is a lot smaller because that already is happening behind, closed doors, or somebody within a business is already like, oh, hey, do you know somebody? That's.
And on, yeah, exactly. They don't often search. Like, if I spun up a stump grinding business and said I wanted to do B2B work and never reached out, no one would have ever found me on Google. No tree guy is going to Google to find a stump grinding sub. Like, they're just not doing that. They're going to talk to other tree guys, or when I first hit them up through cold text, what happened a lot is they're like, oh yeah, actually, my stump grinding sub is not very reliable. And I've just never had anyone else hit me up to compete with this guy. So yeah, let's give you a shot. And then all of a sudden, after two jobs with this guy, they're like, you are so much better than the guy I had before, and I have 100% of their business. But they never would have switched if they never got that text up front, because they just don't think about it. They're thinking about a million other things rather than like, I'm going to go to Google to find a new sub for this, if that makes sense.
No, that's fantastic. So, what would be one piece of advice if somebody wants to follow in Tyler Mumford's footprints away from their corpo job and find a trade, find a niche, find a thing? What might be either three similar industries, opportunities that you've kind of, I know on Twitter you're talking to a lot of other, half trade bros. So what have you seen as far as unique niches like that? And then, what's your advice to go get that, make that happen?
So three trades, this is good. I'm going to put stump grinding one. As long as you're not in Utah, I think it's a great service that you can do anywhere. If you're in Utah and you DM me, I'll tell you to kick rocks. If you're anywhere else, I can help you get started on a stump grinding service. Stump grinding, I think number two that I really like, because I used to be, when I was in tech, I was selling restaurant software. So what I the service that I love in restaurants is hood vent cleaning, like commercial hood vent cleaning. It happens at night. It's a really dirty job, but it's reoccurring revenue. And it is like pretty high, relatively high ticket, and it's required by government to have these hood vents cleaned, you know, every 3 months, every 6 months. They're really greasy, really gross. So it's a great recurring revenue business. That was the thing I almost did before stump grinding. I just got scared about the night labor and work, and I didn't really. Anyways, I got scared at the end, but I still think it's a great business. And then the third one. Hydro seeding. I tweeted about this the other day. I think hydro seeding is really cool. It's very seasonal, so you'd need to couple this with something else probably. But it's basically if they need to grow grass in a big, massive football field or on the side of a highway after construction, they spray this like green paste that's grass seed, mulch, and water all mixed up. And there's big government commercial contracts that come with hydro seeding, and you can also do it on the residential side. And you could do that as a sub for landscape. A lot of landscape companies offer hydro seeding through a sub. So I think there's a lot of cool things there, but expensive machinery on that last one. So yeah,
Yeah,
anyways,
so
those are
it
kind of the
looks like
three
there's
super niche ones.
so it looks like your components are find an industry and find some sort of function that kind of requires like a specialty gear. I love that you mentioned the fry oil, the fry hood, because I'm working with like a commercial kitchen efficiency, and they have this upgrade that cuts fry oil usage in half, and I had no
Oh,
idea it existed. It's called like a fry low or something like that. So I think that there is like these niche industries or these niche jobs within different industries, just looking for regulatory requirement and or specialty equipment, and those are the two levers to find something unique that you can do, right?
Niche B2B services is kind of like what I like with ideally with a decent amount of equipment cost to boot, because I think that that eliminates just guys that can, you know, like a high school kid can't compete with you, right? Like I think in certain services, the lawn mowing, for example, the neighbor next door could do it 80% as well as you could for, you know, a cheaper. So I just don't love services like that. Not that you can't make a massive business lawn mowing, but that I like niche B2B services that require some sort of equipment that's hard to get, is kind of what I like.
Yeah, I always had the dream of like actually making a fully remote control lawnmower, so I wasn't the one driving it, and then make a
That'd be
model out of
awesome.
that. And I'm sure the tech has probably evolved closer to that, because when I checked into it like 5 years ago, it's like the RC radio parts are super expensive to get, and you can't get a chassis. And I'm like, this is so painful. But I know I'd rather sit on my backyard and remote control it. Like that was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and here we are, 30 years later, and we don't have remote controlled. We instead we got these Roomba things that are
Yeah, the
bumping
Roomba
into
ones,
walls.
hundred
I
percent.
feel like we skipped a step.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We missed it somewhere.
Anyways, I really appreciative of your time. I'll be adding loading up the show notes with information about you. Is there any resources that you found were helpful in your business venture? Any podcasts that you listen to, or mentors or mentorship programs that you looked at that gave you a leg up?
Yeah, I always shout out Chris Corner and Nick Chulesky's podcast. It's The Corner Office, I believe. I always shout them out because that's where I got the stump grinding idea from. Still listen to their podcast to this day. Austin Gray over at the like Owner Ops podcast. He's awesome for like blue collar trade services. And then yeah, if you want to know more about stump grinding, follow me at Stump Guy Ty on Twitter. I have a LinkedIn as well, Tyler Mumford. And yeah, if you're interested in starting a stump grinding business, DM me. I've helped a few guys now in different states do it. It's not the most complicated business, but would be happy to help you skip a few of those steps early on. But yeah, I really appreciate the time. This has been awesome.
Thanks for your time, Tyler. Have a good one, and best luck grinding those stumps.
Hey, thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it.